The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through His minister, Reverend Busui Olabode. We believe you'll be richly blessed.
No, I felt we're just going to read some scriptures, and when we read them, we question ourselves further on the things that we've heard, and we'll see what God wants our heart to be positioned with. Because sometimes, you know, all of these things must get to a place of positioning of the heart. A mindset is expected to be formed in us through which knowledge can keep on flowing forth. I discovered that knowledge has a way of a well through which it flows forth, and the well is called counsel, the well is called understanding. There's a mindset that helps you to be able to connect to the things you hear, and you can easily apply them when you go on. Praise God. Proverbs, I want us to see a picture there painted about a woman, and so we're going to get to where Rebecca is saying clearer. Proverbs 31, let's going to read from verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's sheep. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maiden. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She guideth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reached forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. And you would think that this woman is a widow. She looked like a widow. Amen. When you read this, get up to this point, you think that this woman must be a widow who is just doing everything to secure the future of her family. She laid her hands. She perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She laid her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretched forth her hands to the poor, and she reached forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. She looked at an household head, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. See verse 23. So she has an husband. Because everything described here is what a man is designed to provide for the house. So where did they get this woman from? I'm not too sure there's any woman actually here that is. It was an hypothetic expectation of what an household should look like. Up to now, no women are going to be praying to match up with this woman painted here. Hallelujah. Her husband is known in the gates when he's seated among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall be rejoiced in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and heateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praise her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So I was saying to us that it's a misconception that has been sold over time to the human generation, which the challenge of the present day we live in is exposing. You know, seasons and generations expose weakness and lapses of generations. Hallelujah. And every testament will remain valid until they find a fault. You discard them when fault is found in them and it's no more working. Like I said yesterday, that's what we're going to see. Was yesterday, someone was mentioning, he was talking about, he had two friends. Three of them are ladies. One of them is a guy. That all the three of them that left school, all the three girls have been employed. I said the guy. That see, something is against the male folk in our days. Praise God. When a lady finishes preschool, our uncle is thinking about her. Any job going anywhere is thinking about that girl. Something just protect the girl child. But for you, you can take care of yourself. So you have more ladies who are employed today than males. Is it true? Are you sure? So it's bringing a fault in an orientation that tells you that the man is designed just to win bread. I'm trying to let it sink to us that responsibility is a duty of humanity. What do I call it? Male and female, it is our duty to be responsible to take care of needs. And I'm hoping that will sink deeply to our being in this we are, if we make progress in life very well. For God will not allow our conceptions and ideas in the past to survive anymore. Do you understand? He was describing this woman. I said, and her husband is known in the gates. It's not a man that flaunts his knowledge. Knowledge has made him, has built him, is a stature, not of man's knowledge. It's a man God has raised. You know, with a young rich ruler that met Jesus, he had so much. And Jesus knew that what he had amassed is what I was describing. That's what they call him, a young rich ruler. I think you'll say he's a young, they're describing well because those things are very prominent in a CV. There are things you can't look away from. If the guy is young, it's an advantage for him. He's rich. Not most young men are rich. You get old a little bit and acquired wealth to become rich. This guy is young. This guy is rich. This guy is a ruler. But he has no access to that which endureth. So he covet it that Jesus has something more. Jesus was not looking like a rich man. Some people say, no, Jesus is a rich man. His riches are not material riches. Hello with me, please. Praise God. You know, some people don't want to teach prosperity. They say, Jesus has his own house. He's in his own building. That is not true. Jesus labored young in life, early in life, but he didn't convert his wealth into securing natural provision. He used his wealth, his investment, to build men. He was the one who raised all his siblings. Hallelujah. Are we together? People like James. The James we see in the Bible is not the James of Zebedee. It's the James, the Lord's brother. All of them were raised, were built. And that's one thing we don't understand, that it takes much more to build people than to give them bread. Yeah. It takes much more to build people than to give them bread, to give them food to eat. If you give them food to eat, to make them place to be built in life, then you're doing well. But if you do that just because you felt that that's what you owe them, no, man will not live by bread. What makes a man is not just what he eats. Even all you have from your friend from New England, when you wake up in the morning, your father has to show the gem. Show the gem. He will go out, coming. You know, many of children have you eaten? He comes out again, show the gem. One day you ask, he say, oh, yeah, what mean, yeah? You know what I'm saying? Because everywhere you know that what makes a man is not just what, it's not just the food he eats. Even in natural life, there are other things that makes a man. There's education, there's protection, there's security, all of that makes a man. So if a father comes and all he asks is like, you know, I wonder what kind of a father is this one? What makes a man is not just food. So I was saying to us that Jesus lived such a manner of life that he was a blessing lived his life, but he went to start ministry. He has his own house. He has his own ship for preaching. He had built his ministry, and he didn't do all of that. Because God has revealed to him what makes a man. The young ruler actually is a wealthy man. He's a young man, a ruler. But his life is clearly seen. He's known in the city as a man who is young, who is rich, who is a ruler. Just said to him, go and sell all you have. What you have is your problem. They have given you a stature. They have given you a relevance. They have given you a name. And you can't have your name there and still add my name to it. Go and scatter your name so I can obtain another name. A name that you will obtain where these ones you have here can't have access to. Because when you're on earth here, you have investment that thieves can break into, which rust can corrupt, treasures on the earth, which thieves can steal. But there's another place in life where you can invest in, still can break in there. Rust can corrupt, moth cannot heat them. So if you're going to build there, there's another way to build there. You have to lay up a treasure in that system, in that sphere of life. So you'll be known in life as a man who is truly living. Hallelujah. He said to him, go and sell all that you have. What were you going to do? You give to the poor. Then you come back and take your cross and do what? And the man was sad. Why was he sad? Jesus changed the description of what makes a man. To him, what makes a man is what he has done. He has gathered them, he has defined them. And if it is, let's add life to it. So that to be complete. Amen. Then you'll be a real man. Is that not true? Praise God. If I be more rich than Jesus, then what Jesus does not have? Jesus was not rich in iron and dollars. Amen. But he was rich in the spirit. He was rich in glory. He was rich in mercy. He was rich in righteousness. There's a sphere where that riches are. It's not in the sphere which this man has labored. So God is saying to us that there's a way you must see the lower life, and there's a way we must administer it if we will be able to lay up treasure in the heavens. The lower life to us, there's a way it is being administered. Not by acquiring them, to build up a title, to build up a boast. Let me ask you, can you have millions and it not be seen on your face? Because when you are a man, the first time you have a million, what comes to your mind is a car. Is that not true? What do you think of wellness? Get a house and set it. Is that not true? Hey, what do you buy there? Flat screen. What's measurement? That intimidating one. They were saying, I want to enter into the screen. You know what I'm saying? Amen. You know, when you enter the place, I see you want to enter the screen. Aha. Uh-huh. And you bring it there. What is this Uber that? What is the name now? You know the name. Home theater. Hey, you know it. And I set it there. When you come to that house, you feel that something tells you I'm not a man. Is it not true? You have a sense of her. Then anyway, lady also comes in, a sister who you have been trying to labor on for a long time. Doesn't attend to you in church. Who not look at your side? Just one way, one there, one by one way. Just arrange how he comes with brother or sister, so to come and visit you, you know what I'm saying? And he comes in there, you just slotting, you know, kind of music. It's just what is this music? It's gospel music, it's spiritual music, but there's no reason for it, you know what I'm saying? It's not Sonny Ade, it's spiritual. When his dad comes in there, he has a feeling that this boy is getting serious. Now I'm saying, I think he's getting serious. God said before, first spoke about that, I didn't hear before, and now I'm hearing what God is saying. And there are many who have gotten married because of that. Because you can always pack those things, you can pack them anyhow, you can pack them in 2 years, you know what I'm saying? You can labor to get them. In those days when we were in school, there was a guy who married a lady in Ondo here. Very influential lady from the Fletcher family. The guy did not finish from school. He went to Ife. He dropped out in part two. But he didn't leave school. He stayed in school. He will come home, collect his school fees, go to school, enjoy himself with the guys there. When they finished 4 years with his mate, he also graduated. He graduated, and when they were doing convocation, he also went and did convocation. When he came back, he proposed to this lady, straight like that one from Ife, great Ife, now straight like that one. They had finished wedding. He said he was working in Lagos. Go back to Lagos. He went to Lagos. 3 months came back. He said, work is not going on. Can we get a night job for you? He said, no, I know the job is on. Nobody can pay me here. They don't have what to go pay me around here. He was looking for a job. He said, lie, there's no job. They were in it for up to 6 years before the lady knew that. Yes. Because what you marry was a degree. You know what I'm saying? You can have a degree, you can have a master's. Yes, in you are empty. Because it does not make a person. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of what he possesses. So real life is not in what you acquire. That's about it. What defines a man, the values he was talking about today, you don't find, it does not mean to bring possession. And let me let you know that in most ladies today who has been raised by life, money or possession is not what they are looking for. Is that true? Ladies, is that true? I tell you that most guys can do business than you and make more money than you. You don't know that. The business you'll be doing and you'll be trying to sell, they will sell it easily. Just people will, when you get to an office and you say, can you have to buy this one that they're measuring you? When a girl doesn't have your money, the money you have, if you buy the clothes you bought and you're looking so shabby, she will look beautiful inside it. Is it not true? Just let the air, put little makeup there and there. She's looking glowing. What she's putting on is not expensive. God has given her beauty to package it. You know what I'm saying? It gets to any office, they will open the door for her more easily than you. So I discovered that ladies can make more money than men. You don't know that. It's when it comes to wealth, that's where men make difference. For most of us, I know when you married, your wife was any more than you. Is it not true?
Very correct.
And for many years after, it can still be any more than you. But there's something you have that she does not have. It's not, I'm not trying to encourage you from being lazy. I'm just telling you some realities. That what people need on earth, what women need, what the world need, is not how much you earn to start with. It's who you are. Who you are. Your identity. Which is inside. In fact, most of the time, the things you make early in life to prove a point is your undoing. So if it is money you made in life, you want to make others submit to you by the money. You feel your wife owe you respect. Not because you are husband, but because you are the one supplying every need. So you come to the house like a boss. Are we right? You determine everything that happens because you are the means. You're not trying to do it. It happens just by default. When you own it, you call the shot. You will need another law to teach you otherwise. Another law to teach you that you are not made what you are by what you possess. Praise God. Now people around you also are sensitive. Your ladies around are sensitive. When you showed that you call the shot by what you possess, they get careful about you. So when you buy it into the house, they must not touch it. Don't touch that thing. They know it was you because you bought it. If they also bought their own, they know that you can't say that to them. No, slam the door quietly. It is your money that is paying you. When others slam the door on other people's door, do you get concerned about it? Because it's your own. And you know you bought it. So she was also praying one day, let me buy my own car too. That can slam it the way I like it to be slammed. That's one of the reasons why the families in Ondo here do not stay. Every woman in Ondo here struggles to build her own world. Because they don't want to stay under a man who comes to buzz around. That's why you see tomato in Ondo is more expensive than Nakure. Have you not observed that? Onion is more expensive here than Nakure. But the woman selling onion wants to build a house. Yes. She wants to send her own children to New Mercy by herself. She's not waiting for that man. So you see, if they buy tomato from Shasha, the one Nakure will sell her own to earn enough to eat. Or no woman will sell her own to get enough gain to build a house. Go and ask all of them there. They have their plots. It is your money they will use to buy it. So life in Ondo is expensive because they have serious gain. Because the system has trained the women to define themselves. So they come to exert it and prove it. That we also can do it. Now, even if he's living with the man has respect for her. Because you know she has her own house. If you prove a point there, you know I will go to my house. So divorce is not too far. When it's yours too much, yours too much. Can you see that? Praise the name of the Lord. So I want us to know that what God is doing and wants to do to us is to see that the lower life can be communicated and can be used in such a manner that does not define a man. My interest this morning is to let you know how the lower life can be handled and does not define you. Amen. When you have access to eternal life, it tells you what life means. What did I say? It tells you what life means. I'm trying to use words this morning that you can quickly grasp and understand. It defines life truly for you. It makes you to see true value of life. It makes you have good respect for what life really is. When I say I do not respect possession acquiring, I'm not trying to de-emphasize the fact that you can invest in possession to increase your investment. You are not acquiring that because it defines you. That's your business. It's possible. Is that not true? If you are into estate management, estate whatever, and you buy houses and you sell, you have them, it's your business. That's your trade. Just like somebody buys tomato and sell it. Buying houses is your business. You sell it. But you are not acquiring them for use. Are we right? I'm saying acquiring for use to build up a name, a praise, and whatever. When you spend the early part of your life to do that as the goal, you will be defined by it. You will be like the young, rich ruler. And it will be difficult for you to sell them to gain eternal life. The Lord must open your eyes to see how life should be communicated. What I say, the Lord must open your eyes to see how life should be communicated. Let me give you an example. Why don't you want your wife to earn more than you? Why are you always afraid from her earning more than you? If you have a chance that can empower her, why do you want to always bring it to yourself and not to her? Why do you not help her to acquire more education? Am I touching something today? Because somewhere there you know that that's what you are using to be the head of the house. And if you acquire that one, you will no more be the head. The simple thing is that you have no access to eternal life. You have no access to true value of life. Because you can speak all this life, yet what rules you is what you have. So it's not lingua. When others get to have more this what goes around you, how do you feel? Do you feel threatened? Do you need to compete to define that you also are making progress? Amen. Let's read some few scriptures. And I think it will further shed light to what I'm saying. Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not what? Slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It means the goal of being not slothful in business is to serve the Lord through your business. What I say? The goal of not being slothful in business is to serve the Lord through your business. Because why you are hard working most of the time? It's because you want to increase your possession. Is that not true? Why you want to get the business expanded to change your car, to change your house, change your status, and that limits your ability in righteousness. Yeah, it limits your power and your force of dominion. Because it's bound by itself. The Lord that controls itself. I will write together, please. So it means that why it's not slothful in business is because it wants to serve the Lord. Another place that you're talking about servants, serve your master. For you are in serving your master, you are serving the Lord Christ. You can serve your master because your master is good to you. Right? But he's saying that your servant serving your master is not going to be based on how your master is to you. It's because in serving your master, you are serving the Lord Christ. So you are not encouraged just by his motivation. So it's not because he has increased your salary. He has reduced your salary. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. So in the first place, do you get a point to know that our life is, first of all, to please the Lord? But when you are talking about pursuing eternal life, the goal is to please the Lord. It's not for your gain. So you discover that not being slothful in business is going to bring profit if the goal is to serve the Lord Christ. Amen. fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints. Now we have said that what saints or people need is not just for them to eat and not die. Right? The need of a saint is not just for him to eat and not die. The need of a saint is to be raised. Is to be built up to also become rich that he may give to other people. We read yesterday Ephesians 4 verse 28. Let's open there again and see. Let him as toes steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to them, to him that needeth. So you discover that the goal of this person, why he's working hard and laboring, is because he has something in view beyond just what he wants to get for himself. It's not saying that he may build his house. We know he should build his house. Are we right? It's not saying he should buy his car. I discovered that why the Igbo nation is richer than the other nation in Nigeria, it's because Igbo has a principle, not just because they love themselves. They have a commitment from their forefathers to invest in the next generation. You know, Yoruba, they don't have apprentices again. You know that? You get the Okanagan shop, it doesn't have anybody learning from him anymore. What are they doing now? Okada. Get to mechanic, nobody they learn there anymore. Get to Igbo shop, Emeka here has more than 3 people or 4 people in its shop. Why are they there? Because that system tells them, invest in the next generation. When you hear my brother, they are not their brother. Are we together, please? Yes, maybe they, those who are his blood brothers are just, but the Igbo nation call themselves brotherhood. They keep brotherhood because they know that wealth must be transferred. So it's a must. If you're an Igbo man and you have a shop and nobody's learning from you, the nation will disown you. They will disown you. So you have people you train that are with you. You train them to master the business and they must master it. When they master it, you establish them in wealth. They didn't read the Bible, but their forefathers discover after the Civil War, they have dealt with us. They have destroyed our wealth. What do we do to meet up? So they told themselves, the way to meet up is to make sure that wealth does not die with the generation. It must be transferred. And the way to be transferred is that you teach him and you empower him. Your boss will teach their own, and when he's going, he will be sorrowing. He can even curse him. If he's there, he will know that that guy stole my money. He will not prosper. If that is not the way I serve my master, can you see? But Igbo will lose their own and bless them. Are we together, please? Because without knowing, they are obeying something that they are having to raise other people. Let him labor with his hand that he may have. And by that, he may have to give to others. To give others, distributing to the necessity of the saints here, it's not just feeding them, it's to empower them, it's to raise them. Amen. That means that when you are building a business, your primary goal is not just how you will own everything, your goal is how you will distribute. How you ensure that your riches is transferred to other people. 2 Corinthians 8. Jesus did something important for us. Paul was describing the church of Macedonia here, chapter 8, verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. So your love has to be proved. Amen. If it's sincere. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though it was what? I can't hear you, please. It was rich. Yet for your sakes it became poor. That ye through his poverty might be rich. Now there Paul was talking about natural substance. He was encouraging the church in Corinthians, that's Achaia, to give. Like the church in Macedonia gave to the necessity of the saints. The church in Nigeria is so rich. You know that? There has not been any history of the church that has been as rich as the church today in Nigeria. Not even the history of the church in US. The church today is very, very rich. But the church today is ever receiving and afraid of being poor. We are afraid. In fact, for us, poverty is the devil we hate, and we always, as if it's pursuing us. Amen. For I must never see poverty again in my life. No, you have not been blessed. If you have been blessed, you won't be afraid of poverty. Amen. I said you won't be afraid, because when you are blessed, you are made. You know, in those days, they were asking rich men in the U.S. what they would do if their wealth comes down. For some said, if it comes down, it's suicide now. I know this, there's a sickness of a white man, is depression. It's depression. So anything that happens to them, even when there's a fluctuation a little bit in the economy, go and check many of them, depression. They want to be taking drugs. Drugs. Then, antidepressant drugs, sell small. They can't withstand. What will go to Nigeria? Light today, not that tomorrow. A white man is dead already. Not that there's no light. That fluctuation, they don't like it. There's no light. What are you saying? No light? How do we live there? They can't think it. Amen. But the same blood that runs in them runs in you. One night in a day, up Nepa. Amen. It's one night in a day, it's up Nepa. Praise the name of the Lord. They are afraid of poverty. Like many of us are afraid of losing what we have. Because what we have is our security already. And for us, mostly as men, male men, is our way of protection, security. I want us to develop with an attitude of growing up, laboring to empower other people. Laboring, work hard, not because you want to show I have a name by it. The church in Nigeria will stay long on this trail with our wealth. We'll stay long on this trail as long as it is prosperity by the car you use that makes you. Praise God. It's prosperity by the house you build. So the first thing in your mind is, I'm going to prove a point that you are arriving and you are hardworking. The way to prove it is in food, clothing, shelter, car. When Jesus, he became rich because he was going to become poor to enrich somebody. Amen. Yeah, you know, in his poverty, he's richer. You understand what I'm saying? For us parents, when you send children to school now, after they have finished school, you feel that you have empowered a child by going to school. It's not enough. I say it's not enough. If your parents raise you up with the mind to know that you must become rich, and your riches is the extension of their riches, you discover that they won't just leave you and say, Otitoraemu. They want to see that until you become rich, not just by certificate. You understand that? Parents who are wise at these days are not just looking for when they will just, oh, you have finished your masters. Bless you. They know that it's not enough to become somebody today in the world we live in. Praise God. A child must have been trained, equipped with the power to make wealth. Say the Lord thy God, give her the power to make wealth. That it may establish his covenant with you. What he gave them is not power to make certificate. Praise God. What he gave them was the power to make wealth. Power to make wealth. It's not just money get to them. Power. So they are raised and trained to be able to make. Now that tradition, the Jewish also has it. You see them prospering in everything they do. Praise God. Because the schooling and the education they have is not just Western education. It's education for empowerment. Somebody acquires it and lay down and die for others to raise up. I know the Yoruba man, the prayer we have is this one. Yoruba man, when you do that for him and becomes rich, he won't die to make others rich. Now, average Yoruba man is afraid that even your own son can run with your wealth away and never remember, you know what I'm saying? So fair is enough to train you and tell you, but boy, secure your future. When you finish work and retire, you'll be alone. Secure your retirement, you know what I'm saying? So all you are doing, you are securing, you are trying to invest into your future to keep your relevance. We are trained that way, we are raised that way, and we see the evidence of that every day of our life. You know what I'm saying? So if you think otherwise, they will say you are a fool. Because I tell you, they are just going to fall to tomorrow when it does not work for you. You know what I'm talking about? When you are down, as a fool, all this while we know you will suffer. So you are not prepared for the rainy day. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ became poor, though he was rich. and became poor. Because he knew that in his poverty, many will become rich. If you think about that, your wife should become rich. If you think about that, your children should become rich. If you think about that, your brethren and I should become rich. And it should not be a problem to you. That's the evidence that you are blessed. You are not blessed if stays with you alone. And you can't gain mastery of eternal life. I will open it for you. You can't master life as long as those things are there. They are anti-eternal life. Praise God. Even if you are praying and you are praying in tongues, life will not show up. Because life is against my own. Once it is my own and you are holding it, it runs away. So, for your sake, for you know the grace, so it is grace. It's grace for you to grow up and to allow God to build you up so you can build other people. It's grace for you to live your life and acquire skills early in life, acquire excellence early in life. And you're not doing that just to prove a point and make a name. You are doing that because there's going to be a need. You know, when Joseph got to Egypt, you would think to you that this guy became a senator in Egypt. In fact, a senator in the strange land. He was the next to Pharaoh. He must be a wealthy man. Praise God. The man who God has separated from his family, from all the trouble that pursued him. You know the trouble that pursued him from his family. Where everybody wants him dead. Actually, they plan him dead. Only God saved him. Now, when you attend that, it's a point to prove how God has dealt with me in spite of what you have done. They came to him with that mind when they heard what he has become in Egypt. And they knew that it's a time for them to pay them back. Say, why are you sorrowing? No. God sent me ahead of you. It was for you. No, we are not raised to think like that. If I'm the one, he sent me to be Lord over you. So all of you will start queuing up. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. I'll put up a system where you will always keep coming to receive from me. Yes. And you know, in doing that, you are still deriving something. Because they will keep coming, and your honor is in them keep coming. And you can even put out a record, you see, I take care of a large host. They will keep coming to you. You're not trying to make them to be independent. No, I was sent to preserve a posterity for this whole nation, that the whole nation will not perish. That's why I'm here. And he told them, when you are going, God is going to take you out of this place. I don't belong in here. When you are going out, take my bones. I don't belong here. I belong to the promised land. Hallelujah. I belong to God's own destiny area. Take me from this place. But if I were the one, I will see how to establish my tent in Egypt. You know what I'm saying? And let it be that the possession of the Gentiles has become a power of Gentiles. It's only God that can give us understanding to know what life is truly. So when you see them reckoning with Joseph in the hall of faith in Hebrews, it was not that if he lived for himself, he won't be there. Everyone you see their name in Hebrews 11 were men who wrought righteousness for the sake of the Lord's people. Amen. Every of them. They were not men who just made exploit for enjoyment. They were men who did something on the earth here to move the course of God. Because they saw something. So when you are laboring, you must labor to see something. Are we right? You are laboring to see something that will be the defining point for all your journey in life. Because there must be a reference point for every step you take. They must be ordered by the vision of eternal life. You must see a country. You must see a nation. You must see a future that is beyond the future of today. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember when I went to Akure one of these days and no, Benga was talking about changing the car and all of that. I said, Benga, it's only God. When I say God, with God all things are not with me. With me it is impossible. So we're coming from Akure and Ibrahim said, let's go and price the car. I said, Benga, let's go home. Benga Jalole. We said that we will branch. Okay? There's no problem to branch. There's no crime in branch. They won't arrest us there. We branch and they call the price. They price. I said, Benga, most of America. I told you, I don't have such savings. I don't have it. Amen. Hallelujah. So we left the place and I said, we'll call him back. I said, I'll call you back. When you agree for this spread, I'll call you back. You know, when you see Benga, you know he's a multimillionaire man. It's not, there's something you say that scares him. I said, 100 million, 100 million. Yes, I'm going to come back for that, 100 million. Anyway, God just put those people around you sometimes. And you can't change that kind of mindset, so just leave him. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is that everyone must have to engineer a power to do that. Because I don't live with the mind of being able to achieve that on my own. Now I'm not saying that I cannot have such money. I'm just saying that the way I live every day does not have that goal in view. In fact, that goal cannot be achieved. Yeah, it can't be achieved. It is impossible to be achieved. Because the daily life does not allow, you know, when you want to achieve that, you tell yourself, out of salary, I will save this amount every month. And in 12 months, you become this amount. In 2 years, and the way it is going, nothing must touch it. You know what I'm saying? You are checking the balance every day. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm talking about now? You are serving with a serious... okay, it has dropped there. Okay. The rest, can we share it? But that one must always go there. In 3 years' time or 4 years' time, you know that you're going to achieve that because you have planned towards it. You understand what I'm saying? But some things about the life, and most of the things about the life, God wants to train us with a power that will not put the trust and strength in us. You must be trained. God must raise you with that power and with a nature not to be able to trust in the labor of your hands. Your labor is not with you. Though you are laboring, you have another bread which is more important. And that bread must be seen. It must come. You know, sometimes it's not easy to combine the mastery of this life with the mastery of divine life. It's not easy. Though you know this one, they have to weaken it in your hand to make the other life activated. You get what I'm saying now? So for Jesus, death to any man training those guys and see them do well and watch them is the best way. Isn't that right? Praise God. It's reasonable that way. But for you to empty yourself and run zero, for that to be achieved, that is another law entirely. Except if a seed of grain of seed falls and die. And because he wants to bring up a new generation different from the old, if it does not die, it will be the continuity of the old. Praise God. So there's a law that continues the old, though the old can increase, but it can't be new. If you want it new and many, the law is that it must fall first, die, and be there alone, as if it's abandoned. Then another law takes it over from dead and raises it anew. It will not be new, it will be many. You get it now? So they teach us on how to handle the natural and not bear the title in our head. You know, I'm not saying you should. No, laziness is, we have done with that yesterday. It's not part of our code. But now you enter into a labor of life without the goal of having it. Can you sometimes come to a point in seeing the Lord that you're no more looking for your own? Let's read something. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Now look at it now. You say, I'm not rich. The gospel is to make you rich. Amen. Praise God. You must be rich. I must be rich. Say it again. It don't have to be only in money. Okay, don't be afraid. Say, I must be rich. And God wants you to be rich. Okay, I want to be poor. Because that's out of riches. That things can flow out. Okay? So don't enjoy that being poor. That being poor state. That being poor state makes you to easily align with laziness. Praise God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter where you are today or your level of life. God wants you to be rich. When this thing was written there, that still of the church was at the stage where some people came in, they are rich. Some are still poor, okay? His design is not that the one who is poor will remain poor forever, no. Now, it's instructing a way to transfer the wealth. Because everybody must be rich. I say everybody must be rich. Praise God. You must be thinking like that. Everybody around you must be rich. Everybody in my family, everybody among my brethren must be rich. My wife must be rich. Can you think like that? Amen. Can you stop thinking that your wife should just stay that way, just earn nothing? Can you think about becoming rich? Praise God. If all of you today are very rich and you have enough to give, I may not even be going to earn salary anymore, I'm telling you. Amen. Yes. I will stay on the word and you are blessed by it and you'll be more blessed by it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not any salary just because I want to eat. There are issues around me that needs to be attended to. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? So we're combining a lot of things together by all means, holding earth and heaven together. Because an estate has to be kept, oh man. And not because I'm lazy, you know, you don't know that. If anyone tell you anywhere your pastor is lazy, you will know that this man. So somebody came in and said, is pastor around? He said, yes. He said, I know you must be walking. So when he called me, I said, I'm coming. I came with my laptop. He said, I know you must be. Is there no day you just sit down and you do nothing? I said, is it possible? I can't take it. Maybe I'm coming to the right play. I sit down, there's always something to do. If I want to do what the next 30 days now, even though if you don't give identity to me, whatever I'm doing, from now 30 days, I can't finish it. But in my thinking, the way I think is how everybody around me can be rich. Because in doing that, it makes me to be able to key more into the law of eternal life. Once I'm thinking about my own, the law shuts down. The law is against my own. That law shuts down. It doesn't work when you are trying to get it done for yourself. It slots down. Because the two are contrary. Praise God. The strongest law that you have to break is law of self. So see here. Children are rich in this world. So when you read that place, don't just say, it's for those who are rich in church. No. That they be not high-minded. What is not high-minded? They do not put it as their class. There's a way your earning defines your class. Abi, it tells you what kind of shoe you can wear, what you cannot wear. So when they see your shoe, they can tell you, oh, we get to get somebody who works in the whole company. And he's coming, there's a way you expect to see him. Abi, that is commensurate to his earning. It's the kind of car you expect him to ride. Abi, when you see him with that car, you don't think, you won't even think, is it, why should he be there? You just know that that's the kind of car. But teach them that they do not build such mentality. They don't build a mindset that is commensurate to any. That not their riches determines their class. Not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. See verse 18. That they do good. Are you there? That they be rich in good works. Ready to do what? Ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. To share. It is there. That's what he told that guy, that rich man. Go and share. You want the love life? Go and share. Amen. Next verse. Laying up what? In store for themselves a good foundation that they may lay hold. There's not even guarantee, but they may lay hold. It positioned them now to be enlisted in the school of eternal life. So, if a man does not know how to take care of the bread that perishes, if you can't administrate that realm effectively, you can't access the higher one. When you are accessing eternal life, they will teach you, first of all, how to handle the lower one. Amen. It's true, you want to gain life. But the first instruction, they will teach you how to handle, administer the natural. That's why, for example, if a man slap his wife, he can't master eternal life. Because the first thing of eternal life is how to train you not to slap. It's not when you master eternal life that you stop slapping. No, when we master this thing, we stop. It's a lie. Some of the things that we're talking about now should not be mentioned around us. You know what I'm saying? You know, all those. It should not be our communication. It's because we have not really enlisted ourselves to gain life. So they have not come to teach us. We are still acquiring knowledge. We are still in the school of trying to know. Because the natural must be learned how to distribute. So that if you lay it up. Once you lay it up, everything you do is by your lay up. Praise God. You build the house by your lay up. You buy the car by your lay up. You wear life by your layup. Amen. That's how natural men live. That's how Gentiles live their life. You must learn to win something more superior than bread. Amen. This bread. And the amazing thing is that thing you lay hold on later on, we communicate back to you what seemingly you have lost. I tell it to come back. It has a way of coming back, and to come back with life, to come back with the glory and the beauty that is not of man's strength. No man's strength has a fading glory. You know what I'm saying? When it is of man's strength, there's a way that thing that pertains to a flower, even if it's natural thing you have, it will come with the nature of that flower that makes it just come worldwide, and as the moment goes on, it just wither away. Just wither away. Whereas some things God gives to you comes with a touch. As if it is always new. Hello with me. It's not because you can preserve. Because there's a law in your life working to preserve what you have. No, they said something in Lagos. They said, anything you send to Undo will just be okay. These days they send their car to be repaired here. You know, praise God. Because they feel that our car does not get spoiled. It's not that we use the car also. Praise God. But I believe that there's a power also that works with it. I know it. One day somebody told me in school and said, do you buy this car, next car new? I said, no, it's not new. I bought the fairly used. I said, wow. How long have you used? I said, I've used it for 4 years. 4 years? Wow. He said, I think I like Hyundai now. I said, go and buy Hyundai. Nobody tell you to sell it. Amen. Praise God. People are afraid of using Hyundai because they feel the parts are expensive. And I know there could be a problem with that. But I still know somewhere that whatever we get in the pathway of life comes with that thing and substance and about it. So if somebody looks at it in nature and wants to do what you do exactly, he will get it, but will not do that touch. He will get it. But there is something about that thing that is not there. You get what I'm saying? So he wants to teach us on how to lose our life. So you will love to grow. You will love to be built. You will love to be rich. Yet, not with the goal of defining your person, your future by it. And you know that there's a likelihood that your morale will get down. Once you know that you won't get the glory, something about man will die. You know what provokes your ambition? It's the vision you see in the future. You know, when you go to school, you do all of that. You are doing that because your mind is done. When I finish, I will earn this much. When I earn this much, Father, I'm going to be a nice Christian. I'll pay my tithe. When I pay my tithe, yes, tell my tithe, 60,000 from 600,000. Yes, I still have 540. Your mind is thinking and you have a convenience in what you have built. You know what I'm saying? I go to church, yeah, I do this, yeah, that's okay. I have 400,000 every month, yeah. 400,000 in 5 months, that's 2 million, yeah. So when you hear that, labor not for the bread that perisheth, it's who it perishes. Transfer it quickly before it perishes in your hand. What did I say? I'm telling you to perish. It's called the meat that perisheth. You know that rich man that Jesus Christ told us? A man who hands so well that he has a great harvest. And he said, with this harvest, in fact, the last barn I use is not enough. I will remove my barn. I will reconstruct it. If I will expand it. And I will say to my soul, rest for a moment, man. You are an holiday. Can you see? Is God against harvest? Is he against harvest? No. What's he against? A soul that feels satisfied for himself. He's not thinking about God's project in it. Are you with me, please? My soul, why you was your soul rest? Your soul must labor. Why should he rest? There's much that is needed to be done. So when your vision is your self-vision, it blocks you. And what it brings is death. Praise God. No, to be carnally minded is dead. He has said it. It's dead. If you are carnally minded, your mind is on just on self and nature, it's going to be dead. But when you are spiritually minded, it's life and peace. So when you lay up, you are laying up for yourself a good foundation. That's how to learn the law of life. You, by that, you just
learn not to depend or trust in all. It's uncertain now. And all these things I don't, you know, it's uncertain. Like kind of things. It's not confession. You will practicalize it. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? You can't confess to enter into life. It's a profession, it's a practice. You will practice it, then you will see the gate of life being open to you. Because it's a door that must be open. And you can't open it, they must open it to you. An everlasting door must be open to you, to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The door is like they must usher you in. So you have done it right. Just like that guy, if he has gone to go and sell all the hell and came back to Jesus, he will have just been ushered into life. He won't be saying, what shall I do? He has done what you, you know, like a convocation, a welcome for a good journey of a degree has been finished. Like enter into life. Hallelujah. So they are training us in this season that as a male man, much more a male man, you must learn in life how to earn a good degree. Amen. A good degree. Degree. What degrees? You must have a degree on how to master, how to use the natural. What I say? If anybody is going to be a deacon, anybody who you set well, the office of a deacon, has purchased to themselves a good degree and a great boldness. What is the job of a deacon? A deacon is somebody who is given a charge over natural issues of life. Praise God. Now, natural things of life. A man who is spirit-filled, full of faith, full of all of that. Yes, he's doing all of that to serve tables. He's not doing that to shine as a preacher. He's doing that to serve the church. And yet he's growing in grace. He's growing in faith. You know, when you are growing in faith and you are growing in to start the ministry, is that not true? Once your utterance begins to increase gradually now, and your faith is increasing gradually now, you think about the ministry. But he's saying, these people, they grew in faith, they grew in power, they grew in wisdom, and yet they are using well the office of a deacon, and by that they possess to themselves a good degree and boldness. Boldness is that you have done it right. Heaven can adjure them you have done it right. Hallelujah. In the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So you understand that this is a different learning entirely. Is it not true? Everyone will have to train us, teach us how Jesus became the Lamb of God. A Lamb who should reign became a Lamb who was slaughtered. To him, the way to reign is to die. You know when they say the Lamb of God, it should be at the point where it should be ruling the whole earth. And yeah, and he's conquering and conquering. No, he became a lamb and he prepared a body for that, for the essence of death. I pray in this season that the best in us that is yet to be seen will come to visibility. Amen. Yeah, there's the best in you, there's the best in us, there's the best in me that has not been seen before. Because some things are clogging it, some part of death is stopping it. In this season, the Lord God Almighty will awaken righteousness within us. Righteousness. Awake to righteousness. We awake to righteousness. And the new strength of the Lord will awaken within us. There's a fresh strength we have not touched. A strength in us we have not touched in the past. There's a strength, a power in us that has not been seen in the past. There's a lying thing in us that has not been visible in the past. But God is saying this season there will be an unleashing. Unleashing of the strength, of the power, of the lion in our inner being. The power to conquer, the power for exploit, the power to do the will of God, the power to do more than we've ever done before, the power to answer a good conscience, the power to do the will of the Lord, the power to ascend into higher things, for the higher life that God has called us into. Lay hold on life. Lay hold on life. Lay hold on life. That's the command, that the power to do this will come upon us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are elementary teaching of righteousness. Just elementary teaching of righteousness. We receive this, O God, with our heart today. We bless your name. We appreciate it. Can you just bless the Lord this morning? And I appreciate his name. We give you praise and glory. We give you praise and glory. Lord, we give you praise and glory. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I see the Lord raising and making you, building you up, raising you and making you higher. And the sons of men, I see the Lord, I see the Lord, you know, raising you and making you stronger than you have ever thought about. I see the Lord building you up, building you up, building you up, building you up, making you, yes, raising you, equipping your life, adding to you, making you rich, enriching you with grace, with strength. Strength with grace, with wealth, with riches of glory of God, of Christ. Thank you, mighty Father. I see the Lord equipping you that way. I see you gaining more mastery, getting more mastery in the things that pertain to life. I see you getting more grace. So you know the grace of the Lord Jesus itself is grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus, that grace is resting upon us. Yeah, grace to labor strongly, to labor hard, to become what God wants us to become. Yeah, I see the grace coming upon us for the sake of seeing God's purpose on the earth for that. For the sake of seeing many, many sons arising to glory. For the sake of seeing many, many more not going through our own prayers of life, seeing it done better, seeing it done faster. Yeah, I see the grace for transfer. The grace for transfer coming upon us in this place, coming upon us in this generation. I see the grace resting upon us. Transfer of grace, transfer of power, transfer of wealth, transfer of riches. Thank you, mighty Father. I see a great people emerging in our days. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for those who are making the people. For as soon as receiving to them, gave you power to become. Thank for the power of transformation, power of making us to become sons, to administer the things that pertain to life, because we have mastered the lower order. Thank you, mighty Father. Oh, thank you, mighty Father. 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 Making you the man you ought to be. Making you the husband you ought to be. Making you the father you ought to be. Making you the brother you ought to be. Making you the boss at work you ought to be. Making you that servant you ought to be. Making you that trainer you ought to be. Making you that trainer you ought to be. Making you that coach you ought to be. Yes, I see the power. I see the grace being transferred to you. Yeah, we thank you, mighty Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Seeing you in all things. Seeing your vision in all things. Seeing your purpose in all things. Seeing the future in all things. Seeing the kingdom in all things. Oh, seeing what you want to do on the earth in all things. Seeing, being able to see. Thank you. That's the reason we are born again. Said the man be born again. You can't see the kingdom of God. You can't see the realm of invisibility. Why you are born again? To see what men are not seeing. To see what God is doing on the earth here. That's why you are born again. Thank you, mighty Father, for the power to see. Power of sight. To see in what you are doing. Thank you, Lord. The power to see beyond bread. To see beyond bread. To see the eternal purpose of God. To see in others. To see, to look at the things of others. Not just on things of your own self. Things of others. Thank you, mighty Father. Not to, of course, the part of self. Part of self. To see it reflecting, transferring to your closest person, to your wife, to your friends, to your brethren, to your family. Thank you, mighty Father. We thank you, Lord God Almighty. We appreciate you for the power of death is destroyed. Self is destroyed. That is destroyed. The glory of the world, the glory of the class that men have raised is destroyed. Thank you, man, for we can live our life the way we ought to live it and be all that we should be in your name. Thank you, Father. We give you glory tonight. We appreciate you. 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 Thank you, Father.
We believe you have heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the word that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us for Lively Friends and Partners Forum first and third Saturday of every month by 8 a.m., on Wednesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m., all at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 at DME College Road, Ondo. For more information, please call 0703-895-5483 or 0803-850-6491. Or you contact us at livemanifestation@yahoo.com. Remain blessed.